Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue our journey through chapter 8 of John's Gospel today. It might be one of the most intense chapters in the entire New Testament. There are others in Matthew and other places. I'm thinking of the seven woes where Jesus is basically condemning the religious leaders of his time. But what we're seeing here in chapter 8 is a very moving and in some ways shocking encounter between and conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders of Israel in Jerusalem. It's all building, of course, toward his passion, his death, and then ultimately his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father. The mystery, the paschal mystery is unfolding right here before us. And Jesus is revealing in this encounter with the religious leaders the reality of the blindness that covers the human heart and the human mind, how deep sin's hold is on the human heart. Jesus stands before the religious leaders, the Son of God, love itself, who's done nothing but communicate what God the Father has told him to communicate, and they completely reject him. And they're getting angrier and angrier with him, and they're seeking to trap him in some way. They want to deal with him. They want to put him away. They want to kill him. And he knows that. And just ended yesterday's reading, verse 37 and following from chapter 8. It said, "I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you." Jesus had said at the beginning of that section, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and this truth will set you free." Where is freedom found? It's in the word that comes from Jesus, who himself is God's word to us. To be a follower of Jesus is the way to freedom, obedience to Jesus, receiving his word. And his word is command. Is first, he said, repent and believe the good news. The good news is, I'm here, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is here, because the king has come to bring salvation, to set captives free. Receive that word. That's the beginning of freedom, turning away from our own self-sufficiency and our self-confidence that we really don't need it, that all's well, I got everything under control. I don't need that kind of crutch in my life. But here, the Jews are just, their blood is just flowing red hot at this point, you know, when Jesus says this. "I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Who's he referring to? Jesus is referring to God the Father. Jesus is referring to the God of this world, of Satan. And so what Jesus is accusing the religious leaders of is the very thing they will now accuse him of. They'll say he has a demon. But Jesus is the one who knows what's going on. And what he knows is that they're listening to the Father of lies and not to God the Father. But they presume they're in a good place with God the Father, and they're not. That's how blinded they are. That's what sin does to us, each one of us. Verse 39, they answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did." What did Abraham do? He believed God. Despite all of his life circumstances, which would lead any common sense person to believe that the promises God gave him, that at the age of almost 100 and married to a woman who's almost his age but also who's barren, that they were going to have a child in their old age and they would ultimately eventually become father and mother of a great nation, which would become the people of Israel. What did he do? He believed God. "If you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God." How do we do that in our own lives? How do we do this, I mean to say? Jesus has come to tell us the truth, which he's received from God, and we don't want to hear it. Think about how much the world and the powers of the world today, as Psalm 2 says, are raging against the Lord and against his anointed. The world rages against the rightful authority and rule of Jesus Christ over his entire creation. You know, our political systems, our social systems, our civilizations that we create, we see them as ultimate. We see our framework, the worldview we have that we hold, our political influence, our political power, our political history, our lives, we see that as paramount. Many do, anyway. And humanity crafts, builds kingdoms that are shaped in our image rather than God's image. And whole political systems and social networks that resist God and resist his rightful claim and absolutely refuse to have the flag of Christ planted in their midst. Where's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is wherever the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ is welcomed and embraced, where his worldview, his values, his commands, where they're acknowledged, they're saluted, and every knee bends and bows before him. And as St. Paul said, everyone seeks to please him as he sought to please the Father. Friends, there are kingdoms all over this world. Big ones, little ones, political ones, social ones, the ones we build that resist God and his total claim on us. Just like the Pharisees. And when that happens, where do you think it comes from? Who do you think we're listening to? God the Father or the Father of this world? It's a very important question. So reading this drama is not just seeing the problem of the Pharisees or Jesus' struggle with the Pharisees. This is Lent, friends. This is the time when this word needs to shed light on my heart and yours. Because whether we want to believe it or not, this is the same battle that unfolds in each one of our lives. Verse 41, you do the works of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. So they're claiming, you know, that they have the right bloodlines. They're sons of Abraham. They're rightly aligned with God by virtue of their birth. They're not illegitimate in any way. So they're getting angry because Jesus is saying to them, essentially, the claims you're making do you no good because you don't at all live like your father. Your heart's in a different place. And you don't enter the kingdom of God, you don't live in the family of God just by birthright. You don't lay claim to it because you have the blood of Abraham flowing in your veins. The kingdom of God are for those who open their hearts to Jesus Christ and receive his word and receive Jesus into their lives and walk in his footsteps and live the life he lived. Jesus said to them, this is verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God. Here's where we get it from the Creed. He preceded the Father. He comes forth from the Father. Talk about the missions of the Trinity, the co-missions. So the Father sends the Son. He proceeds from the Father. The Son sends the Spirit. The Son and the Father send the Spirit to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. For I proceeded and came forth from God. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. Jesus keeps saying to them, it's very plain what I've said to you. Even the little children can understand it. Why can't you? It's because you don't want to understand it. Because you don't want to receive the truth that you need to repent. You need to change your life. You need to accept the fact that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God's Son. And he's come to bring everybody back to the Father's house, and they don't like it. Jesus said, I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. You know, there's an analogy here for our own lives. Pope Francis has said time and time again, Every baptized, confirmed person is a sent one. We have to, he said, be able to live with a clear identity that I am a mission in this world. And I'm sent on mission. It's not my mission only. It's not my message. It's not my goals. It's his. So the question is for a disciple, am I his ambassador? Am I carrying his message? Am I living the life he wants me to live? That's the only thing that matters. Even though all kinds of people around the world might be living differently and might be abounding in success in this world, having all kinds of influence, that's not the life for you, not a disciple. It doesn't matter what you gain in this world if you're not gaining Christ and helping build his kingdom. It just doesn't matter. You can have the largest business in the history of the world. And if your values and your focus is on something other than what's consistent with the kingdom of God, consistent with your own dignity, human dignity, and what God has called you to, it's a waste. It's a complete waste. Why do you not understand what I say? Jesus said, it is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. Why does the Catholic Church believe in the devil? Why do we know he's real? Well, there's lots of reasons, but this is the most fundamental reason, because Jesus Christ taught us he's real and that he knows him and he's come to defeat him and defeat his power. So look at the depth with which Jesus is kind of unmasking the bondage of the religious leaders who think they're the freest people on the face of the earth. There's a profound blindness to sin. There's a blindness in our culture, deep blindness, friends. Everybody's certain, absolutely certain, you know, that the life they're choosing for themselves is a good life, and that whatever they will for themselves, whatever design, whatever identity they shape and will for themselves, this is a good thing fundamentally because it comes from me, because I'm choosing it. It's a deep blindness. And even some voices in the church today talking about conscience, this is very much related to this, that conscience is infallible in some way, that if I choose something deeply for myself and I believe it's right for me, then it's right and I must do it. There's a way in which conscience and the command of conscience needs to be obeyed in every single one of us, but a rightly formed conscience, a conscience that's consistent with God's word, a conscience that's consistent with revelation, a conscience that's consistent with being itself, with reality. So if I'm going to make a decision that denies all that or doesn't take it up and consider it seriously and then assert my life and say, this is a life everybody has to accept and that I have a right to live and that somehow even the church has to admire and sign off on, is a very big mistake. It's a very big mistake. We're going to take this up a little bit more tomorrow and what Jesus says about the devil and the battle that we're in. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.